This is 90.9 WBUR. I'm Sharon Brody. Time now for more coverage of the Nor'easter. WBUR meteorologist Dave Epstein joins us over Skype. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
First, what happened overnight during that last high tide?
Well, depending on which community you were at, there was, again, more moderate to major flooding across the area. The flooding in Boston was slightly less than what we saw during the noontime yesterday. The actual tide itself, had there not been a storm, was lower than the previous high tide anyway to begin with. So I think that helped a little bit. Also, winds were a little more northerly, so that helped a little bit. So that was some good news.
And in locations outside Boston, worse than expected, not as severe?
I think pretty much what was expected yesterday. The tide forecast were pretty much spot on. You know, they're off by a few inches. It's very difficult to know exactly how high the tide's going to go. So we always see a range. There's actually a number given, but there's actually, if you look at it in detail, there's usually a range of about 4 or 5 inches for these high tides.
Let's talk about the next tide. When does it arrive and what's the potential impact?
Okay, so the next high tide comes in Boston officially at just about noontime. And it will be all up and down the coastline between just before noon and just before 1 o'clock. Most areas are going to see flooding similar to what we saw yesterday to slightly less. There will be some areas where perhaps it's a little higher than yesterday. A lot of areas will be a little bit less than yesterday. But in general, we're not going to see anything that's monumentally worse at all. Of course, winds are not as strong. The storm's a little bit further away and the waves have subsided ever so slightly.
Yeah, speaking of those winds, the high winds certainly were a major part of the storm. We all felt that wind and heard it. Looking at the readings, just how strong were the winds?
Yeah, amazing, these winds. Really the strongest since 2005. There was a storm back in December where parts of Cape Cod had wind gusts to 100 miles an hour. But I would say that this is the strongest storm a lot of folks down there will remember since Bob in 1991. So Barnstable, 93 miles an hour, East Falmouth, 92, Wellfleet, 91. We have Woods Hole at 88. You go down to Nantucket, winds over 90 miles an hour. Also on Martha's Vineyard, 88 at Oak Bluff. So you get the idea, Logan Airport, 70 miles an hour. This was pretty significant. We all felt those winds, no matter where you were, even inland areas with all the power outages.
Right. Now, I know you've also been reporting about the significant amount of rain this nor'easter delivered. How much? What sort of totals?
Yeah, so it depends, again, on where you are. Generally, it was a 2 to 4 inch rain amount, but there were some places which saw more than that. We have a couple of 5 inch amounts. East Bridgewater, 5.74. Brockton, 4.61. Those are a couple of the higher amounts that I could find. Also down in Rhode Island, westerly 4.85, so approaching 5 inches. But generally, it was in that 1 to 3 inch range with a sweet spot, I'd say, right around 3 inches.
And the storm did deliver some snow, not much, right, in the Boston area. Significant amount in the western part of the state?
Yes, absolutely. Hampshire County in Massachusetts, Plainfield is the most we could find. We had 12 inches of snow there. Worcester, only about 1 inch to 1.5 inches. Providence got about 1 inch of snow. And also, as we look at western part of New York or eastern part of New York State, we find around Hunter, New York, 2 feet of snow. So there was some very big snow. If this thing had been a little colder, we would have been crippled here for more than just a day or so.
Goodness. Well, to wrap up, what can we expect for today and the remainder of the weekend?
Well, one of the things that's interesting is we're in a blocking pattern, so the storm's kind of stuck out there. It's just sort of spinning around, and it's actually going to move backwards a little bit. Now, don't panic. We're not going to go through what we went through again, but there is going to be a little bit of energy coming around the backside of that storm, bringing us some snow here for tomorrow night, and I wouldn't be surprised to see it coating to a couple of inches from the western side of this storm system. Eventually, it does move away Monday and Tuesday, and that makes way for another potential nor'easter here on Wednesday. Now, it's not going to be nearly as strong. It will bring rain or snow to the area. Still a little early to say what it will do, but we're in a colder and wetter pattern now for at least the first 10 days of the month. It's going to be more what you'd expect in New England spring to be like, not the April and May-like temperatures we saw last month.
All right. Well, thank you, David.
You're welcome.
WBUR meteorologist David Epstein. And now we turn to Chris Bessie. He's with the Massachusetts Emergency Management Agency. Chris, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
What reports are you seeing from last night's high tide?
So the report reports we have so far are really mostly some flooded roadways along coastal areas and pretty significant tree damage and power lines and utility poles down in the southeast part of the state.
Hmm. Well, a significant number of communities definitely are reporting those downed trees and power lines. That affects roadways a lot. What could you go into some detail about which parts of the state you've seen the worst damage?
Sure. So the southeast part of the state is probably the most significantly impacted, all the way Plymouth and Bristol counties, all the way out through Cape Cod and Barnstable County. We know in particular the communities of Duxbury, Marshfield, Scituate. Their conditions were so bad that they've all issued local states of emergency and travel bans for those communities overnight, really encouraging people to stay off the roads because conditions are out there pretty dangerous.
Sure. What about structural damage to businesses or homes?
We don't have any reports in yet, although as the daybreak comes and communities get out there and do some more assessments, that may come into us. The other thing is we're still keeping a very close eye on that midday high tide today, which may bring further flooding in some of those areas. So we're working with different teams to do some different types of damage assessments today.
And with the high number of power outages, where is the recovery effort really focused?
So we're in close coordination here with the utility companies. What we're hearing from them is that it's what they're calling a multi-day restoration effort. So what that means is that not everyone will have power back on today. The crews are hampered somewhat by the strong winds that are still going on out there, but we know they're out trying to do as much as they can. The southeast part of the state, again, is really hit particularly hard. Many communities down there are the whole communities may be without power. So we're working closely with the utility companies here to make sure if there's any communities or facilities that are critical infrastructure, we're working with them to help prioritize those impacts.
Right. What's the status of the National Guard? 200 members activated and we're helping with the rescues yesterday?
That's correct. We've been working closely with the National Guard for a few days now. They remain activated today, and they have, I believe it's 53 high water rescue vehicles still staged up and down the east coast of Massachusetts, many embedded with local fire departments, so that if rescues or other emergency calls are needed, that they have the right type of equipment to get out there. And they'll remain at least through the high tide cycle today or longer if there's other impacts that they're needed for.
Okay, Chris, thank you so much.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Chris Vesey is with the Massachusetts Emergency Management Agency.